Henry said to his captain, said a man ain't nothing but a man. But you can bring that steam drill around and I'll beat it fair and honest. I'll die with that hammer in my hand, but I'll be laughing, 'cause you can't replace a steel driving man. There was a big crowd of people at the mountain. John Henry said to the steam drill, how is you?
Good morning, sweet, beautiful Texas. That's the Man in Black getting things going for us on the Lone Star Outdoors Show, presented by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. I'm Cable Smith. So great to be here talking hunting, fishing, the great outdoors, and all that implies with you fine folks this morning. Man, we've got a great show lined up for you today. So you know what to do. Pour yourself another cup of coffee. Pull up that stool a little closer to the old campfire here, because we've got a ton to get into. And we'll start things off by talking ducks with Delta Waterfowl's Vice President John Devney, who checks in from North Dakota and the Prairie Pothole region, a.k.a. the Duck Factory, basically where most of our Texas ducks migrate from each winter. And we'll talk nesting conditions, get his prediction for the upcoming fall flight, and we'll also get John's thoughts on the interesting phenomenon of shortstopping and whether or not folks in Kansas and Nebraska are really capable of shortstopping big concentrations of mallards from migrating all the way down here to Texas. So fascinating stuff coming up with John. All you quackheads out there, get ready for an off-season fix to help get us through these summertime blues. Then a real treat when three-time Bassmaster Angler of the Year and former Bassmaster Classic champ Mark Davis drops in. We'll talk some early summer post-spawn patterns and the baits and techniques that Mark uses to consistently put big bass in the boat during the early summer. Incredibly, at the age of 51, Mark finds himself atop the Angler of the Year standings with only two events left. So we'll also talk about his remarkable turnaround and what he's been able to do at the age of 51. It's pretty fascinating, really. And we might even talk a little bluegill fishing with Mark, one of his other passions. So great stuff coming up with Mark Davis. Then we'll wrap things up by talking bass rods with Temple Fork Outfitters Nick Conklin. Temple Fork, a longtime sponsor of our show. They were nice enough to sponsor our June 2014 Photo of the Month contest, and Nick will tell us about their entire lineup of conventional rods and the different fishing applications that they are specialized for. So anyway, interesting stuff. It's really incredible to see how the fishing industry has changed over the past few decades, and we'll get into that here in just a little bit. Also, if you want to enter your photo for a chance to win that Gary Loomis Tactical Series Bass Rod from Temple Fork Outfitters, all you have to do is email me your best hunting, fishing, or outdoor photo. Send it to LoneStarOutdoorShow@gmail.com, and we'll get you entered into our June contest. And remember, we'll have a vote at the end of the month. Whoever gets the most votes will win the TFO rod. And that person will also be entered into our 2014 Photo of the Year grand prize, where at the end of this year, our 12 monthly winners will square off for a chance to join me on an exotic trophy hunt down at Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas. Absolutely a beautiful place, one of my favorite places to hunt in all of Texas. And you could win a trophy black buck or axis deer hunt with me down at Coons Canyon Ranch. So send us your outdoor photo. What else here? Don't forget, we'll be out at Rudy's Barbecue in front of the Cabela's in Allen, Texas today from 10 until noon. Come on out, register to win a free fishing trip with Captain Lynn Gerard down on the Texas coast. We'll be giving away a two-man fishing trip today. Have other stuff out there, Lone Star Outdoor Show t-shirts, some various other prizes and stuff to give away. Come on out and see us. We'll be at Rudy's Barbecue in front of the Cabela's in Allen, Texas today from 10 until noon. So stop by and talk some hunting and fishing with me. Love to visit with you. Let's knock out a quick break here. When we come back, we'll find out how the ducks are doing up in the Prairie Pothole region. It's breeding season, and Delta Waterfowl's Vice President John Devney checks in from North Dakota, coming up only on the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Somebody told me, son, you finally got it made. Old Hank made it here. We're all sure that you will, but I don't think Hank done it this way.
Rockwall Gun Club is North Texas' premier shooting facility, offering both indoor and outdoor ranges, including a unique 500-yard rifle range. If shotgunning's your thing, then check out the 18-station clay course. Opening summer 2014, Rockwall Gun Club is offering special introductory, family, and corporate membership rates for founding members. Located at 15950 State Highway 205, you can also visit rockwallgunclub.com or call 972-215-6902. Rockwall Gun Club, the private shooting experience.
At Frost, we could talk to you about our 24/7 online banking. Or we could talk to you about our more than 1,100 ATMs across Texas. We can even talk to you about our mobile banking app that lets you pay bills, transfer funds, and deposit checks from anywhere. But at the end of the day, there's nothing we enjoy more than to just talk to you.
Thank you for calling Frost. How may I help you?
We're here with the technology and convenience you want and the service you deserve. Frost. Banking, investments, insurance.
If you're in the market for a firearm, you need to know about STI International. Based out of Georgetown, Texas, they're 100% employee-owned and offer the best warranty and customer service in the business. STI is renowned worldwide for exceptional fit and function. The patented 2011 high-capacity system proved so successful in shooting competitions that over 80% of competitors used STI guns or pistols built on STI frames at the USPSA National Championships. To see their full line of premier pistols, visit STIguns.com or check them out on Facebook at STI Firearms. STI, the continuing evolution of the 1911.
Larson Electronics is a Texas-based lighting company that's been outfitting the United States military since the 1960s. And while they continue to support our troops, they also now have over 200 lights ideal for your hunting and fishing needs, like the 35-watt HID Camouflage Go Light Striker with remote that's 15 million candle power in the palm of your hand. Ideal for predator and hog hunting, they also have remote-controlled floodlights, feeder lights, and LED boat lights. Visit LarsonElectronics.com and go Texan with Larson Electronics for all your lighting needs.
Hi, I'm Eva Shockey, and thank you for listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
ZZ Top to get our blood flowing this morning. I'm Cable Smith, welcoming everybody back to the presentation. Thanks for tuning in to the Lone Star Outdoor Show, brought to you by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. And we are we're about to talk some ducks here today with one of our oldest friends. But before we give all the quackheads out there, myself included, that little off-season fix, this segment of the show is proudly brought to you by Sendero Seed Company, Texas' premier seed company. They've got anything and everything you need to keep your whitetail herd happy and healthy, including the Dr. Deer-backed buck forage oats. So check them out at senderoseed.com or call my buddy Rob Hughes at 1-877-610-SEED today. Sendero Seed Company for all your planting needs. Well, let's go ahead now and welcome back, like I said, one of our oldest friends. He's been a part of our show. Oh, well, actually, since before the Lone Star Outdoor Show ever existed, back when we were just on one little old AM station outside of Texarkana, Texas. It was the Piney Woods Outdoor Show. Anyway, I could call Delta Waterfowl Headquarters up in North Dakota, and John Devney, the Vice President of U.S. Policy, was always willing to stop down and talk ducks with us, and we appreciate that over the years. John, thanks for being here, and how are things looking up there in the middle of the duck factory?
Well, ducks are doing what they're supposed to, Cable. Hopefully they're making a bunch of baby ducks for us to go out and chase around this fall.
Awesome, awesome. Well, before we talk numbers and nesting conditions and how all that's going to translate into the 2014 fall flight, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with Delta Waterfowl right now as far as projects and policy issues that are at the forefront.
Well, Cable, it's our busy time of the year. Obviously, we focus the lion's share of our time, energy, and attention towards making ducks on the breeding grounds, because what we know is that what happens or doesn't happen in the breeding grounds in the spring, and for guys in Texas, that means the prairies in the spring, determines whether we have lots of ducks or not very many ducks come hunting season. So, you know, our predator management program is going hot and heavy right now. We're expanded our hen house program. Alice in Prairie Canada has had some very positive developments here. The Canadian government made a very, very significant financial commitment to wetland and grassland conservation in the prairies, and we think Alice is going to be a huge beneficiary of that and do good things for farmers and ducks at the same time. So lots and lots, you know, and then we've always got a number of research projects going on the breeding ground. So it's our busy time. It's, you know, after a long winter up here and up near the edge of the Arctic Circle, we're happy for spring to get here. We're happy for the ducks to be back. We're happy the ducks to be breeding, and we're happy to doing the kind of work we do for duck hunters every year. So it's our favorite time of year, Cable. Well, second favorite time of year. We like it here in October a lot too.
When, yeah.
Instead of canneling eggs, we're shooting ducks. But this is certainly our second favorite time of year.
No doubt. Well, how many trappers do you guys have going right now as part of the predator?
I think we've got a dozen guys out there this year. All over, we've got trappers in North Dakota. I think it's 9 this year, Cable. We've got guys in North Dakota, and we've got a new project going in Saskatchewan right now.
Wow. Okay. Perfect. And that's, you know, that's kind of one of my favorite things about Delta is, and a lot of people, they get hung up on that aspect of, you know, removing one species to protect another, and it's the same way with the you know, the anti-wolf hunters, but you know, as conservationists, we realize the importance of saving the ducks from predators, saving the elk from wolves. You know, it's all kind of the same concept.
Well, and you know, the interesting thing about it, Cable, is I think people have to recognize that the reason we have to do things like predator management isn't because we're on a jihad against raccoons and skunks and foxes.
Right.
Man and man's decisions have fundamentally changed this ecosystem. We wouldn't need to be talking about managing predators if, you know, we didn't drink Coca-Cola, didn't eat corn, or we didn't eat bread or Cheerios. But the fact of the matter is this is a very intensively used landscape. It's really important cropland. And when you start reducing nesting cover on the landscape and start increasing agricultural production, that's where predation comes into play. And so, you know, this is a man-made problem, and it demands a man-made solution if we want ducks to be as abundant as they can be.
Right. Well, let's go ahead here and get into the all-important topic of discussion for today, and that obviously is, you know, how is production looking based on nesting conditions throughout most of the prairie pothole region? And, I mean, obviously, what goes directly into that is moisture and when you guys got it and how much you got, and maybe you could, you know, kind of break that down for us.
Sure, Cable. Well, you know, if you're a duck hunter in Texas, your ducks come out of, you know, a few general areas. One is the eastern Dakotas, the eastern part of North Dakota and South Dakota. To characterize habitat conditions in that part of the world, South Dakota's probably more average than it's been in a number of years. I've even heard folks say dry in places in eastern South Dakota. It seems to be there's a northern gradient, though. The further north you go in South Dakota, the better wetland conditions get. And it seems like that trend continues right into the Dakotas. So it seems like in the U.S. prairies, the further north you go, the wetter you go. And I think generally in North Dakota, wetland conditions are really pretty good. And in a perfect world, Cable, you'd have a situation where you get really good fall moisture, go into the winter, you know, with lots of moisture in the soil, it freezes, you get big snow, and it runs off, and then you get some spring rains. Now, this year, at least here in North Dakota, you know, we had the wettest October on record last year. We had surpassed our October precipitation record on the 14th of October.
Wow.
So we were really wet in the fall. It was amazing. Some of the places we duck hunt in the fall looked as good as they did in terms of wetland conditions as they did in May, remarkably enough. Huh. And so we filled a lot of those ponds. We filled the soil. But we didn't have a tremendous amount of snow. It was long, cold, brutal winter, but we didn't have that much snow. But we've had pretty darn good spring rains, actually been wet enough in terms of what we had in the soil and what we've had this spring that it's slowed down planting more than our farmer friends would like. But, you know, I think conditions here in North Dakota are going to be generally pretty darn good. When you get up north, you cross into Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta. Most of those areas had sort of the same thing. They had really generally pretty good fall moisture. That's a general statement over a big part of the world, They generally had pretty good moisture last fall. Some areas had better snow than others, but you know, you take a place like southern Saskatchewan, it's so important to duck production and in ducks that end up in Texas. You know, some of the big chunks of Saskatchewan cable between April 11th and May 11th, heart of the start of the breeding season when those wetlands are opening up, were 200% of their precipitation, normal precipitation. So Prairie Canada looks really good all the way from southwestern Manitoba all the way over to southern Alberta. And those areas plus the Dakotas contribute the lion's share of ducks that are shot in Texas.
Well, I know that a lot of our ducks do come from Prairie Canada. And now I've never seen or shot a banded bird, for that matter. I'm not totally convinced that they even exist. But no, I know quite a few Texas waterfowlers who've shot banded birds that, you know, ended up being banded, like you said, in Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and the like.
And interestingly, a number of your pintails come from southern Alberta. So it just depends. It depends on the kind of duck you're shooting. It probably depends where in Texas you're shooting it. It probably depends how crazy a duck was to get there in the first place.
Right. Well, John, as far as where we stand in the reproductive cycle, I mean, are there hens already on nest? Or are there ducklings already hatched? Or, you know, kind of talk a little bit about where we are. And I know it varies from species to species.
We've already got a fair number of goslings. Canada goose goslings have already hatched. They're by far and away the earliest. Mm-hmm. And there are some mallards and pintails that have already hatched. But the lion's share of the ducks, you know, the mallards and pintails are the first, mallards are the second. And now we're kind of getting in the period where, you know, the blue-winged teal have been sitting for a while now. First blue-winged teal broods will probably be out there on the landscape in, you know, 2 weeks-ish. The shovelers are starting to nest now. The gadwall are a later nester. The lesser scop, the bluebills, are the last duck we see nesting here in North mm-hmm. Dakota. In a year like this, though, Cable, when water conditions are good, which they are certainly in big chunk of North Dakota and many places in Prairie Canada, we will get re-nesting. If that female loses her first nest to a predator, which is all too common, when water conditions are good, she'll re-nest. So it's not uncommon when you start getting towards the tail end of the breeding season late in June, you know, you're finding scop nests and mallard nests at about the same place. And it's not because scop don't re-nest very aggressively, but mallards really do. So in a good wet year, you know, those mallards will just keep trying and trying and trying.
Well, and you mentioned lesser scop, John, and that's one species along with the widgeon that, you know, over the past decade or so really has struggled. I know things are looking a little better for the scop, but, you know, widgeon just fallen on hard times. And I know there's not a lot of info on these birds. One of my favorite ducks to shoot. And I was just curious to find out if any special research or any new theories had come to light as to why this duck continues to struggle while seemingly every other species is thriving and we're seeing an increase in their numbers.
Well, the widgeon are a tough one. Actually, last year was the first year in many, many years where we actually saw widgeon go up a little bit. So we broke the free fall a little bit with widgeon, but they're still well below their long-term average. Scop are about right at their long-term average, Cable, and that's really on the strength of some good scop years. Last year was a pretty good breeding population of 4.3, but we had some really, really good years here over the last few years where scop are sort of now back at the long-term average. The one that last year had the most significant decline and is second only to Wigeon in terms of their status in terms of the long-term average, is Pintail. Wigeon, we don't know a lot about, to be honest, Cable. They nest in the boreal forest. They nest in low densities. Nobody's really an expert on Wigeon. Scop, lots of thoughts, a lot of competing hypotheses, not a lot of great insights. With Pintail, I think we know what it is. Pintail are very early nester, and they're heavily reliant on temporary and seasonal water. The problem is with temporary and seasonal water is that's the stuff that's most likely to be drained, Cable. And so, you know, Pintail have a preferred habitat that's most at risk. The other thing is, if you're an early nester and you don't re-nest great, pintails will re-nest, but they sure don't re-nest like mallards do. Mm-hmm. And you nest early, you feel the brunt of the predation effect. You're laying eggs in April. Raccoons and skunks are just coming out of their winter dens, and they're hungry. There's not a lot of cover yet on the landscape, and there's not a lot of other things to eat. You know, nest success on early nesting ducks tends to be pretty poor. So, you know, blue pintails are in this sort of double whammy where they like the wetlands that are most at risk, and their breeding, their nesting strategy is also very high risk.
Very interesting insight there, which is why we always love to have John on the show. We do need to take a quick break, however. John, we'll stick around for another segment, and I've got a great topic lined up. Where are all those late-season mallards here in Texas every season? Is there anything to that phenomenon of folks in Kansas and Nebraska short-stopping big concentrations of ducks? We'll find out when we continue our discussion with Delta Waterfowl's Vice President of U.S. Policy, John Devney. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Goodbye to you, baby. I'm glad we got to talk, but I'm faithful to my wife. I don't never break the law. I don't know where you're headed for, but I know where you've been.
Ben Lofton Fencing is Texas' premier fencing company. They apply a design it right, build it right the first time mindset to all projects. And with 15 plus years experience, there's no job they won't tackle. Ben Lofton Fencing specializes in deer and exotic game fences, breeder and handling facilities, water gaps, as well as farm and ranch fences, and corrals and working pens. Better Business Bureau certified, they offer the quality and personal service you expect. So for your next fencing project, go Texan and call Mr. Lofton himself at 254-709-1320 or visit benloftonfencing.com. Do you have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The System is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or visit www.goinfencing.com. That's goinfencing.com.
Hey, North Texas sports fans, this is Brian Spagnola, General Manager of Texas Motor Cars in Addison. My family's been in the car business for over 50 years, and I want to show you the difference in buying from a family-owned and operated business. TexasMotorCars.com is an awesome website that lets you do virtually all of your shopping online. We have a professional photographer that takes amazing photos, and we give you all the information that you'll need up front. You can even find out how much we will give you for your trade-in before you ever come in. I take pride in the fact you can come in, choose a car, and be out in less than an hour. We have financing rates starting at 1.79% on pre-owned vehicles and can help almost anybody. Please do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a pre-owned vehicle of any kind, give us a shot. Let me show you how easy buying a vehicle should be. Visit TexasMotorCars.com or come visit our 20,000 square foot indoor showroom in Addison. Again, visit TexasMotorCars.com or call us at 1-888-9-TX-MOTORS.
Rockwall Marine is North Texas' premier boat dealership, offering the finest lineup of fishing boats anywhere. Mercury, Yamaha, Evinrude, Basscat, Alumacraft, and War Eagle, also specializing in all aspects of rigging, from power poles and electronics to motors and trolling motors. So whether you're looking for a new or used boat, parts or service, Rockwall Marine is your one-stop boating center and the nation's number one Basscat dealer in 2013. Call Tommy Yetz at 972-771-4442 or visit rockwallmarine.com.
It's been a damn long day and I'm still tired, got miles of road to go. This cup of coffee keeping me wired and the windshield's getting cold. And I'll be damned if I'm getting any more used to this being
That's the music of No Justice, bringing us back on the Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. I'm Cable Smith, riding shotgun with you. Thank you so much for letting me share a part of your weekend with you. Sincerely appreciate that. And we are still talking ducks here this morning with Delta Waterfowl's John Devney. But before we pick it back up with John, this segment of the show is proudly brought to you by STI Guns. Texas made and Texas proud. They've got a full line of 1911 and 2011 style pistols in all calibers. You name it, they've got it. Check it out, STIGuns.com. And if you're thinking about a new pistol, go Texan. Go STI. Well, let's go ahead now and jump back into it with Delta Waterfowl's Vice President of U.S. Policy, our good buddy John Devney. We certainly appreciate him sticking around through the break. And John, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, this topic that we're about to get into keeps coming back to the forefront. And I hear it more and more every season. And it's always the same thing. Hunters want to know where that late season push of greenheads is. It's here in Texas, they're just not showing up in the numbers that they used to, even 5 years ago. I mean, if it wasn't for gadwalls, a lot of Texas duck hunters would have had pretty poor seasons the last couple of years. So is there really anything to that theory of short stopping? Are folks in Kansas and Nebraska really able to use ice eaters to keep water open and to hold enough ducks late in the season to where it affects what we're seeing down here in Texas? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's an interesting question, Cable, and it's you know, we've heard it from duck hunters for a long time. I think anybody that's involved in duck management's heard it. What we know is that you know, there's a lot of concern about this issue. We set out to evaluate it, and what we did was, it's hard to get good information. We can't really use surveys, and it's hard to get a data set that's consistent across the country. So what we did is we used harvest data from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which goes all the way back to the 60s. And what we could do with that is, if we made the assumption, I think it's a pretty safe one, that if a duck dies someplace, it was there. And so rather than relying on survey data, we used the duck kill as a surrogate for duck abundance at any time. Now, if you look at the mean mallard harvest in a state like Texas, it's 10 days later than it was in 1961, in 2008. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, if you look at ducks like pintails that aren't big short stoppers and have a different foraging strategy, they're 13 days later. Ringnecks, which are, you know, small water diving duck, 7 days later. Gadwalls are 6, green-winged teal are 3. Now, if you look at the states north of you, you start seeing some numbers that you go, holy cow, Oklahoma's mallard harvest has shifted later, 31 days.
Wow.
Kansas is 26. Now, all that's very interesting, except for the fact that when you overlay that with how duck seasons have changed, in Texas, the duck season is 3 days later than it was in 1961, 50 years ago. The duck season in Oklahoma is 23 days later, and the duck season in Kansas is 15 days later. So what we found is that duck harvest tended to be later for most species in most states.
Mm-hmm.
But we also found that duck seasons are later for most states. So are we shooting them because they're migrating later, or are we shooting them then because that's when we have the opportunity to shoot them? And we got to recognize, you know, the duck seasons of today are much different than the duck seasons we had in the 60s. They're longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so the longer your seasons are, especially in a place like Texas, in the wintering grounds, or even in a place like Louisiana or Arkansas or Oklahoma, and I'd make the case for Kansas too, the longer the available dates are to hunt, you're likely to add those dates onto the back end of the season rather than the front. Nobody's going to be terribly eager in Texas to shoot the first, you know, into October. They'd rather have those dates in January. So the long seasons have sort of confounded our ability to see what the trend is. So ducks are being shot later, but it seems to be in large degree because that's when the seasons are. Mm-hmm. We can't definitively say that's when the ducks are there.
Sure, sure.
That migration has fundamentally changed. And why or how, that was beyond our analysis. We could just measure, are ducks being shot later? The answer is yes, but that is strongly correlated with when states are having their season.
Yeah, it's just, I just think a lot of folks here will just say they've seen it. You know, at the end of the season, we should be getting a big push of mallards, and we haven't. I know last year for sure, just from a couple guides that I hunt with and talk with regularly. I mean, Lake Texoma, Hagerman Wildlife Refuge is traditionally just a mecca that holds thousands upon thousands of mallards and pintails. And last year, like last week of the season, my buddy drove through there just doing some scouting, and he counted less than 200 ducks, which who knows why that was or whatever. But, you know, then you get on Facebook and you see somebody in Kansas posting a picture of a you know, flooded agricultural field with, you know, 5,000 mallards sitting on it. And, of course, they've got an ice eater going. So
yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, that stuff's certainly happening, Cable. I think that, you know, I it's interesting. I know a lot of folks in Arkansas, and Arkansas is, if there's, you know, one mallard drake left, it'll be killed in Arkansas. And or at least that's what the boys in Arkansas will tell you. And it's interesting, you know, they talk about places like Oklahoma and Kansas. Well, nobody knew about shooting mallards in Oklahoma and Kansas until the last 10 years, until the internet, until all this duck hunting television. There have been guys killing mallards in Kansas and Oklahoma for a long time, but they kept it under wraps. I remember the first time I ever went hunting in Oklahoma near the Tishomingo National Wildlife Refuge, just north of Texoma. I was amazed. There were a gazillion ducks there and nobody hunting them.
Yeah,
this is the greatest place on earth. And so I think the internet, I think social media, I think, you know, guys are saying, wow, I never knew I thought those were my ducks. Well, in reality, there have been a lot of ducks being shot in those places for a long, long time. I think we're just more aware of it today than we used to be.
Well, it's certainly an interesting phenomenon, and who really knows what the answer is. Now, John, last thing, and I know you don't have your pond counts yet. You'll get those here pretty soon. But just based on what we discussed in the previous segment, as far as nesting conditions, you know, looking pretty good, what is your fearless forecast for the 2014 fall flight? Because from everything you're saying, it sounds like it should be a good one.
I think so, Cable. We'll have a much better, I think you and I should visit here in about a month when I've got good numbers to talk through, when we've got the official pond counts from the feds and we have, you know, the population estimates. I don't see anything in what I've been hearing from folks that have been out and around and what I've been able to see, certainly nothing bad in the offing. May not be an all-time record, but we're going to have lots of ducks. We're going to have pretty darn good habitat conditions, and I would expect we're going to have an above-average fall flight. But I'll be able to be more definitive with you, Cable, in about 30, 40 days.
Sounds like a plan. And real quick, John, if folks want to get involved with Delta.
A great place to go is our website at www.deltawaterfowl.org, and you can follow us on Facebook, too. We're doing, this is the time of year we're highlighting a bunch of stuff going on in the breeding grounds. Our duck cam will be going live here any day. Folks can see what a day in the life of a nesting female on the breeding grounds is like. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes you get to see ducklings. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes you get to see raccoons. But it gives everybody a great insight to what's happening on the prairies. And we'll be doing regular updates on habitat, duck production outlooks for the balance of the summer.
Well, John, always great to visit with you, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. And we certainly appreciate everything that Delta Waterfowl does. Such a great organization dedicated to making sure that those fall skies are full of migrating ducks. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you so much, Cable.
All right. And I do encourage everybody to get involved with Delta Waterfowl, at least become a member. I think it's like $25 for the year, and you get the bi-monthly magazine, as well as, decals, all that cool stuff that comes with the membership package. But the publication's really great, so check it out. And there's plenty of chapters in Texas. No excuse not to get involved, especially if you're a serious waterfowler. definitely worth your time, and you'll meet some like-minded folks. So I encourage you to do that. Don't forget, we'll be out at the Rudy's Barbecue in front of the Cabela's in Allen, Texas today right after the show. 10 to noon, right after the show today, so come on out and see us. We've got cool stuff to give away, including we're going to let you guys enter to win a two-man fishing trip with Captain Lynn Girard down there on the Texas coast. And all you have to do is come fill out a card. It's free to sign up. You don't have to be present to win. Come on out and see us. Rudy's Barbecue in front of the Cabela's in Allen, Texas today from 10 to noon. At the very least, come out and enjoy some great barbecue and talk some hunting and fishing with me. So look forward to seeing everybody out there. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by one of the all-time greats of professional bass fishing, former Bassmaster Classic champion, three-time Angler of the Year, Mark Davis stops by. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show. And I'm a roadie.
Did you know there's a bank that will pay you to be its customer? That's right. Lone Star Ag Credit is a cooperative, and since it's owned by its stockholders, pays millions in dividends each year. That's free money to every borrower. Lone Star Ag Credit serves people all over Northeast Texas, assuring you competitive interest rates on real estate loans, rural home loans, livestock and farm and ranch loans. Contact Lone Star Ag Credit today at 800-530-1252 or on the web at LoneStarAgCredit.com. Equal housing lender.
Hey friends, Cable Smith here for DFW Safes. We all know that our guns are a big part of our lives, from grandfather's old 12-gauge to that trusty tack driver of a deer rifle. And DFW Safes is North Texas' premier safe dealer, specializing in Rhino, Bighorn, Huntsman, Heritage, and Fortress safes, to name a few. They're family-owned and operated and have over 24 years' experience in the safe and installation business. They even have commercial safes for your business and scratch and dent safes for the most frugal of gun owners. Visit DFWSafes.com to set up your delivery today. That's DFWSafes.com or call 817-715-1068. At LSC Trailer Sales, we offer a full line of utility trailers, from small single axle trailers to heavy equipment trailers, ATV trailers, car haulers, landscape trailers, cargo trailers, truck beds, and more. We can special order a custom trailer specific to your needs and have the ability to customize standard models in-house. LSC Trailer Sales is here to assist you with any questions you might have about trailers. Call 940-484-5500 or visit us at lsctrailersales.com. Finally, quality trailers at affordable prices in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Hey y'all, Cable Smith here for Tioga Retrievers. As bird hunters, we expect the most out of our gun dogs. And that's why I sent my sweet girl Belle to Angie and Tim Becker at Tioga Retrievers. Not only were her manners and obedience spot on in the blind and in the field, but Belle picked up over 200 birds in her first season. So whether you want a well-rounded hunting dog or just a well-mannered companion for the home, Tioga Retrievers has you covered. Located in Aubrey, Texas, visit TiogaRetrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A Retrievers.com.
Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas specializes in exotics such as axis deer and black buck. Coons Canyon offers quality animals at a price the working man can afford. Right now, save 10% on any package of multiple animals. Military personnel, police, and firefighters also get 10% off. Lodging is available upon request, as are other exotic species. Visit CoonsCanyonRanch.com for your next exotic trophy hunt. That's CoonsCanyonRanch.com.
Hi folks, Roland Martin here, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
I'm going down to the bottom of the sea until I found the deepest part of me, and if I drown, at least I'll know that I died free, searching for my destiny without a doubt. I'm going down.
Bottom of the Sea is the name of that one there from Sean McConnell, bringing us back on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, presented by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. I'm your host, Cable Smith. So great to be here with you today as we're about to talk some bass and maybe even a little bluegill fishing here with one of Pro Bass Fishing's all-time greats. But first, this segment, proudly brought to you by Lone Star Light, the best way to cool down after a long, hot summer day out on the water, is by cracking open an ice-cold Lone Star Light. Lone Star Beer, the national beer of Texas. Well, our next guest currently finds himself atop the Bassmaster Elite Series Angler of the Year standings, a place that he's been all too familiar with over the years, but not in some time, to be honest. He's also a Bassmaster Classic champion and Major League Fishing pro and all-around good guy. Mark Davis, thanks for dropping in.
You bet. Glad to do it. Glad to be here.
Well, it's certainly our pleasure, and we are going to talk a lot of fishing here this morning. Special thanks to your sponsor, Yamaha Outboards, for hooking us up. We appreciate them. Before we talk fishing, though, I understand that you've got a new undertaking going on as you are filming a sitcom right now. Tell us what's going on with that.
Well, I'll be glad to. Yeah, we've, in fact, just this morning completed our first episode of new sitcom, Ketchum Lane. Ketchum Lane is actually the name of the street where I live. And you might guess who might have named that. But it is a sitcom, and it is a comedy, and it naturally is about, actually it's about my life and a lot of the stories and things, funny things that have happened to me, you know, in my life of guiding and fishing and traveling all over the United States fishing tournaments. So it's you know, I had so many funny stories that I shared, you know, after dinners and the different functions, and people have begged me for years to just put it on audio and sell it, and I never would do it. But Mark Manus works for Strike King. He's been in the television business for years, produced lots of different shows. All of them were outdoor shows, both hunting and fishing, doing stuff with Bill Dance. And like I said, work for Strike King currently. He came up with this idea, actually wrote the script, and I read it. I said, man, that's funny, because it was my story. So, yeah, that's where we're at. We shot the pilot, and don't know where it'll wind up, but we've got a lot of different networks interested in it, so we'll just see where it takes us.
Well, we'll be on the lookout for as to when and where Ketchum Lane is set to air. Now, as far as fishing goes, though, you're having one of the best seasons of your long career, and at the age of 51, you haven't won an Elite Series event since 2005. You haven't won Angler of the Year since 2001. So what has been the key to you really catching fire here in 2014? Not that you've fished poorly over the past, you know, 10 or 12 years, but what has been the major difference in this season compared to recent seasons?
I've been asked that so many times, and I still don't have a really good answer for it, other than to say, you know, the I always thought when I got up in years that it would get easier. Well, it actually gets a lot harder. You know, over the past few years, it's certainly not that it's not that you don't know how to do it anymore. You just don't put forth the kind of effort and fish with the type of intensity and drive and motivation that you need to carry you through those events and through that. Bass is the elites right now. It's a very stellar, very stellar group of guys. I mean, it's always, you can say that about any year in any era, but right now, if you look top to bottom, man, it's really stacked with these real good fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things, add up, and I've got to step it up. You know, I've not really done anything big in the fishing world in quite a while, and I was honestly a little bit complacent, because you sort of get in your comfort zone. You know, well, I make the Classic every year, and I'm making a living, and life is good. But that's dangerous. It's dangerous to let yourself get that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guilty of being that way the past few years. And I decided this year I'm just going to put forth, you know, put more into it, more effort and more pre-fishing and more preparation and just try to be a little more on top of my game and just turn my game up a few notches to get back in that zone. I've been there before, but I haven't been there in quite a while. But, I had a lot of good tournaments there right in a row, and I had a bad one at Dardanelle, but we'll try to crank it back up again as we move forward.
Well, it definitely shows that you're doing something different. And, yeah, I mean, complacency in any career field in life is never a good thing. But to be able to turn it on at the age of 51 like you've done is amazing. Like we said, you're atop the leaderboard, only two events left. And, Mark, if you do win, you'll join some pretty elite company. Not that you're not already in good company with three titles, but if you get that fourth, you'll join only Roland Martin and Kevin Van Dam as anglers who've won the Angler of the Year title four or more times. Is that something that would mean a lot to you, or something that you really don't even think about?
I don't think as much about the number four or being in that group with those two guys as I do the age. For me, pulling it off at the age of 50 would mean actually a lot, because I don't think anyone has won it, you know, when they were, you know, that old,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that would mean a lot. And it would also mean a lot to just have, you know, that kind of a turnaround season. If I can keep it going, and it's still, you know, a lot of things can happen between now and then. And, you know, I had a huge lead, and I had a complete bomb at Dardanelle, and, you know, Greg caught up. So, you know, everyone says, well, you just trying to make it interesting or what? Well, I wish I could say that I was trying to make it interesting, but I really wasn't trying to. It just, but those things happen. You know, you have some bad events, but mm-hmm. hopefully we won't have any more.
Well, it makes for a better story with Hackney right on your heels. But, you know, like we said, we're pulling for you, man. And just reading your bio here and what I know about you as an angler, as far as your strengths go, you like fishing deep structure and post-spawn patterns, which is where we find ourselves right now in the deep south. So considering lakes in our area, you know, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, your home state, would you break down what baits and techniques you're going to be using during, you know, early June and then that post-spawn pattern?
Sure. Well, you know, it depends a little bit on the lake and the water clarity and all those things. But, you know, speaking in general terms, you know, I like a reaction bait, like a crank bait or a swim bait to locate fish, because, you know, when fish move out post-spawn on, you know, river lakes and your deeper lakes especially, they tend to group up, and you need something you can cover water with. And as the water gets hotter, you know, sometimes depends on the mood of the fish, but you need a reaction bait. So, you know, naturally a deep diving crank bait or a swim bait fished, you know, on or near the bottom out in 15 to 25 feet of water is what I like to do. But then I also like to sort of a 1-2 punch, and I'll go with a reaction bait, then I'll back it up with a jig or maybe a Carolina rig or even a Texas rig worm, and in some cases in clear water, maybe even a drop shot. So I like to go, basically, I guess what I'm saying, from something, you know, fast, reaction, big, power fishing, to something subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you find them with one and catch them on the other.
And so you're targeting fish on those main lake and secondary points, drop-offs, ledges, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all offshore. Just like on my lake here at home, and like the lakes in Texas, you know, fish, you know, they move off the bank and they get out there on drops, humps, points.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not enough. You know, you've got to find the little subtle features on that structure out there. It's usually, you know, a little hard spot, a little rough spot, or some little unique features is usually where those fish sit up on those structures.
Very well. Great insight there, Mark. Now, you're also very involved with Major League Fishing, a partner of ours as we try to help promote each other. A great show, of course, airs on Outdoor Channel. What is your favorite part about being involved with Major League Fishing and its unique tournament format?
Well, I think as an angler, my favorite part is I think it's the purest form of our sport. And I mean, when I say that, you know, no practice. So, you know, you've got to jump on the water without any practice. And most of the time, I mean, I know in all of them that I've competed in, we're on a lake that I've never been on before. So you're on a brand new water you've never been to, you don't know anything about, and no idea what's going on out there, and you've got to go find the fish. And that's really where you see a guy really, really shine, you know, a guy that can figure it out. Now, I'll also say this, without practice, a lot of the techniques that I like to use are almost taken out of play, because it takes a lot of homework and map study and what I call seat time. Seat time is when you're out there looking at your electronics, you know, island around, mm-hmm. and you don't have that in major league fishing. So you've got to go make something happen, and you've got to make it happen quick, and that oftentimes means fishing shallow. But it's the purest form of our sport. You know, there's a boat, here's a rod, here's a reel, here's your lures, and they throw you in the lake, and you got to go get them, and the competition starts. And so from that aspect, then I'd say the other big factor that really sets Major League Fishing, that format, apart, you know, everything that I've ever done, is the real-time scoring. I mean, you know where you're at. You're in first place. You're in last place. You're in third, trying to climb into fourth to make it to the next round. And, you know, for most guys, if you're having a tough day, you don't want to hear every leaderboard update.
Right.
Because it's not really significant to you. And you can let it get into your head, you know. I mean, we had one up there in Michigan in Kevin's backyard, and Van Dam was just hammering the whole field. You know, I don't need to hear that, well, Kevin caught another four-pounder. I don't want to hear it. You know, I can't get a bite. I'm trying to figure out how to get a bite. This guy's sitting here. You know, Kevin just caught another four-pounder. He caught another three-pounder. I'm like, man, I have heard enough about Kevin. I said, tell me when he gets to 100 pounds. Don't worry about telling me anything till then. But that's all part of the game. And it makes it sort of fun, too. But the real-time scoring is different. It makes it more game rather than a fishing term. Because, you know, most of the time, you don't know how well you've done till you get to the weigh-in. I've won tournaments where I thought, man, I don't even have enough fish to – don't even want to go weigh them in, and you go up there and you find out, hey, I've actually done really well and no one else caught anything. But I've had other tournaments where I've just caught the fire out of them, and you go up there and you're in 50th place. So everybody caught them. So you never know in a deal like that. But Major League Fishing, you know where you're at.
Yeah, and as someone who is a fan of the show and watches it on a regular basis, I like that every legal bass is weighed. You know, there's no five fish limit. It's every single bass is immediately caught, weighed, and then released, and it's your overall weight that gets you into the next round.
It absolutely, and that goes that sort of goes hand in hand with the no practice, because you think about it. I mean, you know, without any practice, any previous knowledge, you know, that's a great format to be able to weigh in every legal fish you catch, and it opens up a lot of, you know, and you see it unfold on the water. You'll see one guy that he's kind of going for numbers, and you'll see another guy that's over, and he's still kind of going with the quality versus quantity game. And usually, at least thus far, for the most part, you know, quantity wins. The guy that can get the most bites wins the event. And of course, you know, it don't hurt to throw in a big one now and then too, but usually if you're getting the law of averages, if you're getting more bites than everyone else, a lot of averages, you're going to eventually catch a big fish too.
Yes, indeed. Just like Kelly Jordan's 8-plus pounder he caught on Lake Ray Roberts here in Texas during the Shell Rotella Challenge Cup. Anyway, Major League Fishing is in reruns right now, but does air on Outdoor Channel. It'll be back on next winter with all new episodes. And you can check out MajorLeagueFishing.com for extended cast and more info. But changing it up here, Mark, I want to discuss another freshwater fish, one that probably most of our listeners out there got started out on as youngsters, and that's bluegills. You know, I can tell you right now, the first fish I ever caught definitely was a bluegill, and I didn't realize how passionate you were about panfish until I read a recent feature and Outdoor Life magazine. And it's about going deep for big early summer bluegills. And I'll let you talk about, you know, how you find the fish, what baits you like to use, and the technique that you're using to put them in the boat.
That is a great species of fish, number one. And most of our lakes, all of them that I know of, in this area, and you look at Texas and Toledo Bend, and are great and fish fisheries, but underutilized. You know, you just don't find very many folks out there fishing, in a boat, on the lake, in a boat, fishing for bluegill. And that's a shame because, you know, they're fun to catch, they're fun to find, they're fun to figure out, just like bass. And they're also good to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of reasons to fish for bluegill. And, you know, I tell you, back years ago, 20, 25 years ago as a guide, you know, there would be periods when, you know, bass fishing would be tough, or you'd have some anglers that didn't really have the skills that they needed, maybe, you know, fish deep with a worm or whatever, and whatever it took to catch bass. And I would suggest bluegill fishing. Well, they're thinking about catching some little bitty, you know, plucking seed bluegill. I'm saying, no, these guys are going to be, you know, 8, 9, 10 ounce bluegill that on light line are going to fight, pull, and there's a lot of fun to catch. And they're like, yeah, right. And once you get them to try it, man, it is the most addictive fishing that I know of in fresh water, because you get a lot of bites and you catch a lot of fish and they pull hard and they're a lot of fun to catch. But the thing about true bluegill, they start in the south in April and sometimes in May, depends on how the year goes. But and they spawn every full moon all the way through August. So mm-hmm. A lot of opportunities to catch them, unlike, you know, largemouth spawn, you know, basically they spawn in the spring and they're done. But, you know, bluegill, you've got a lot of bluegill bedding all summer long. And, you know, a lot of different ways to catch them. I catch them, I love to fish for them deep, just like bass. And that doesn't work on every lake. A lot of lakes, you got to, you know, stay up there shallow. But you can find them. And I know on my lakes around here in the summer, it's more of a main lake flat point type situation. But now early in the spring, or early in the summer rather, you know, May, this period of time, you know, May, June, like right now, if we were to go fishing, you'll find them in the bays, in the pockets. But even if you find them in the pockets, usually they're either right in the middle of the gut, in the back, or they're on the little side for little secondary points going in. If the water's clear, of course, you can see them, but if the water's stained, and this is the fun part, is finding them. I like to just fish a little small black, like a little beetle.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of a little grub, you know, just like you would for crappie. But I like black. The bluegill really like to buy something that's black or brown. And, you know, you just cast around until you find them. And once you find them, I usually switch gears and I go to a drop shot rig and a live cricket. And then it lights out when you go better. you really catch them then.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. And I remember, you know, as a kid, just going down to the creek behind the house with a cane pole. Just me and my brother would go down there, and we'd come back to the house with a bucket full of big, fat bluegills. And as far as fun goes, you know, sometimes you just got to get back to the basics. And tell you what, catching bluegills on light tackle, it's tough to beat, that's for sure.
Oh, they put up a good fight. Yeah, I've got twin boys that are 12. In fact, just this morning, they've been down here. I've got a pond right here in front of the house. They've been down there catching bluegill. And, you know, if the bass aren't biting, that's a great, you know, that's a great little fish to fall back on. And I tell you, I'd caution anyone listening, you know, if you don't want to get started bluegill, don't try it. If you want to have fun, if you want to have fun in the summertime, give bluegill fishing a try.
I think I'm going to go get me some crickets as soon as the show's over, to be honest with you. But, Mark, hey, great stuff today. Really enjoyed visiting with you. We'll be on the lookout for your upcoming sitcom. And, man, you're ahead in the Angler of the Year standings with two events left. We are pulling for you, man. Hope you put that fourth title in your back pocket. It really would be something at the age of 51.
Well, I appreciate that, Cable. We'll be working hard at it. I appreciate that.
You bet, my friend, and we'll talk to you again somewhere on down the line.
Okay, look forward to it.
All right, there he goes. The great and always affable Mark Davis, three-time Angler of the Year winner, 1995 Bassmaster Classic winner, and actually, Mark won the Classic and Angler of the Year in the same year. Not a lot of anglers can say they've done that. He's in pretty good company already. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Temple Fork Outfitters' Nick Conklin. We're going to talk fly rods, conventional rods, and a whole lot more, including we'll let you all know how you could win a Gary Loomis Tactical Series TFO bass rod. We're going to be giving that rod away this June. We'll tell you how you can win, coming up only on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
I sang Dixie as he died. People just walked on by.
Lone Star 4x4 has everything you need to customize your Jeep, truck, or SUV the way you want it. They install lift kits, leveling kits, wheels, tires, bed liners, as well as color match spray lined accessories, full exterior sprayed vehicles, fenders, steps, LED lights, light bars, car audio, brush guards, steel bumpers, goosenecks, toolboxes, performance exhaust, you name it, they have it. No job is too big or too small at Lone Star 4x4. Call 940-484-5500 or visit LoneStar4x4.com. That's LoneStar4by4.com, or check out their most recent builds on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
BioBore EB is the premier gasoline additive that combats the negative effects ethanol has on an engine. Its comprehensive formula is designed to protect marine engines and marine environments, yet also works great in all 2- and 4-stroke engines. It prevents phase separation and ethanol-related engine problems while stabilizing fuel for 18 months. BioBore's detergents also clean the entire fuel system of carbon and varnishes. BioBore EB has the best treat rate in the industry. 1 ounce treats an amazing 15 gallons of gas. Available at your local sporting goods store or visit BioBore.com today.
Howdy folks, I'm Lee Hoffbauer for Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. We hope you love listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show, because we do, and we're proud to be a title sponsor. Now listen up, we here at Hoffbauer Outdoor Superstore have got some great deals for you folks that love the great outdoors. Whether you're needing a brand new Polaris ATV or maybe a Polaris Ranger to ride around, check your deer feeders, get to and from the deer blind, maybe to get you down to the dove patch, whatever your needs are, we can fix you up with a brand new Polaris today. Now we're also a New Holland tractor and equipment dealer. Now I'm just speculating, but maybe you need a new tractor and shredder to shred around your deer blinds, maybe clean up around deer camp, or maybe even shred a few lanes in those sunflower patch. Now we've got lots more than just Polaris and New Holland, so come check us out today, Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. You can check us out on the web at hpolaris.com. Better yet, just come see us. Highway 84 West in Gulfway, Texas, and in Central Texas for over 48 years now. And folks, we couldn't have stuck around this long. We were steering you wrong.
I drive a pickup I bought in high school, built with pride and Detroit steel. She's 40 years old, but she purrs like a kitten when I climb behind the wheel. I could trade her in, no problem, for something newer, shiny and fast. But in a throwaway world, I'm a sucker for something made to last.
Oh, that's a great one there from Austin Cunningham. Made to Last is the name of that one, bringing us back on the Lone Star Outdoor Show, presented by Off Power Polaris and Lone Star Beer. Hope everybody's enjoying a great weekend. I'm Cable Smith. So glad to be here with you as we're about to talk some fishing rods. But first, this segment proudly brought to you by the Dallas Safari Club, the worldwide leader in big game conservation. Be sure to visit biggame.org to get involved with this great organization today. Well, let's go ahead now and we'll welcome our next guest to the show, as we have a very cool giveaway to tell you about that is going on this month, and we'll do that momentarily. Now, I've been using their fly rod and reels for, gosh, about 4 years or so now, basically since we started the show, and actually just started using their conventional bass fishing rods as well. They are a Texas-based company, and so it is my pleasure to welcome Temple Fork Outfitters trade show and social media manager Nick Conklin to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you, Nick, and we'll get into some exciting stuff here momentarily. But first, have you had a chance to wet a line here lately?
No, it's been a while. I've been up in Arkansas. I actually was doing some casting demos up there last weekend, but unfortunately don't get to fish that much in the springtime here.
I know it's y'all's busiest time of the year, so that's not surprising. Hopefully you've at least got something on the calendar, though, to look forward to.
Hopefully Texas Coast in September is the plan, and might do British Columbia again this fall.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. Yeah, and now you're actually from up north, Michigan, right?
Yes, sir, Michigan.
Right, right. And now, Nick, you and I actually had the chance to fish together a few years ago. Back when you were writing for Lone Star Outdoor News, myself, Connor Harrison, and you, we did a little urban kayak fishing in the North Texas area.
A little creek fishing there in White Rock Lake?
Yes, indeed. And I wouldn't want to fall out of my kayak in that thing, though.
No, absolutely not.
It's a little nasty these days. But the point was to prove that even though the water might be a little dirty and not look as desirable as, say, the Texas coast or, you know, Lake of the Pines, but there's still great fishing, even in these highly populated urban areas. I wouldn't eat the fish, but you can still get out there, wet a line, and have a lot of success. Now, Nick, tell us a little bit about what it is exactly you do at Temple Fork Outfitters.
You know, a lot of my work is traveling around, going to trade shows, working trade shows, and spending my time talking about fishing rods.
Right on.
Both on the fly and conventional side. So.
Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, Temple Fork Outfitters is synonymous with fly rods and reels. I mean, you can find y'all stuff at Cabela's, among other places. And but, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, I believe, y'all forayed into the conventional side of things as well. And Gary Loomis actually helped design these rods.
Yes, sir. We've been with Gary actually almost going on 6 or 7 years now. He came on board and, you know, he went around, he played with some of our fly rods and, you know, was honest with us and said, you know, these are great. I can't do anything with these. So then Rick Pope, our president and founder here, gave him one of our spinning rods we were kind of experimenting with. And mm-hmm. Gary's like, I can do a lot with this. I think we can work together on something. So for the past 6-7 years now, he's been working with us. Two different families, the Signature Series family, then the GTS family.
Right on.
I mean, we have everything from a 6-foot ultralight to a 50-pound class boat rod, so something to cover pretty much every fishing scenario.
Right, and I actually got to play with just about all of these different rods when I came to headquarters and spent a little time with Jim in the warehouse just taking it all in. And the Mangrove series actually is one that y'all designed specifically for saltwater application as well.
One of our newer series, the Mangrove series, designed by Flip Pallet. Mm-hmm. A little bit shorter grip, so if you're fishing tight quarters or got to make some really precise cast places, definitely aids in that that kind of fishing.
Well, I'm going to have to get me one of those, but Jim did hook me up with a couple of y'all's bass rods the other day, including two of the Gary Loomis Tactical Series rods, and we're going to give one of those bad boys away as Temple Fork Outfitters was nice enough to sponsor our June 2014 Photo of the Month contest. These are the Gary Loomis Tactical Series rods. I've been fishing with it now for, about 2 weeks. Really enjoying the fast action and sensitivity that this rod provides. And I'll let you tell us a little bit about them.
Yep. I think it's part of our GTS family. It's our medium heavy action, 7'3".
Mm-hmm.
Or medium heavy power, excuse me. Fast action, great kind of all-around bass rod. That's part of our bass family, actually. Some, you know, different powers, different lengths that cover, you know, anything from light worms to heavy jigs to crankbaits, slipless cranks, things like that. So, you know, kind of one of our sayings around the office here is a master mechanic has more than just a crescent wrench in his toolbox. You need different rods for different kinds of fish. It's like you need, you know, different tools for different jobs. So
no doubt.
That's why we try to offer currently close to 15 different rod families, you know, different actions, different powers, really anything to get the job done out there.
So whether you are a cranking guy or, you know, you want to fish drop shots, maybe a big old swim bait, you know, you've got something for everybody, including pitching rods as well. Like, you know, say if you're out on Lake Fork or a place where you're having to pitch into heavy cover, or you've got to wrestle those big bass out of that dense vegetation or flooded timber, you know, you want a stiff rod blank, and you have that as well.
Absolutely. When you got to pull something big out of a bunch of heavy vegetation, absolutely.
And now, actually, something new that y'all just put out, and it, really this the carp fishing phenomenon is just continuing to catch fire, especially here in Texas, because, I mean, every lake, pretty much every body of water you're going to be fishing is going to be infested with some kind of carp, probably grass carp. Anyway, you guys even have a rod for that now.
There's so many opportunities for carp that we figured we need to get into it, and it's been so big in Europe for so many years that we felt the need to, you know, to give it a go here and offer two different rods and see if we can find a little hold here in the market.
Awesome, awesome. And now if anybody is interested in learning a little more about TFO, they've also got the best warranty in the industry. And you can check out their full line of conventional or fly fishing rod and reels at tforods.com. And Nick, you know, like I said, we're really excited to have you guys sponsoring our June contest. If anyone out there is not familiar with our Photo of the Month contest, all you have to do is email me your best hunting or fishing photo to lonestaroutdoorsshow@gmail.com. We'll put your photo into the pool there, and then at the end of the month, we'll host a vote on our website. A person with the most votes will win that Temple Fork Outfitters Gary Loomis Tactical Series Bass Rod, which we are really excited about. And hey, real quick before I let you go, though, when we stopped by headquarters the other day, Jim hooked us up with some TFO caps, and we'll give one of those away right now, but I'm going to put you on the spot. You got to help us come up with a trivia question for this morning's giveaway, and I'm going to let you come up with a fishing-related trivia question right now.
All right. I mean, seeing as it's the bass rod and we're in Texas, I think a question about who holds a record for the heaviest or largest bass here in the state would be a good one for you.
Ooh, yeah, I like that one. And by the way, little hint, that bass came from Lake Fork. Text in the angler's name who holds the state record for largest largemouth bass ever, and we'll send you this Temple Fork Outfitters cap. Text in to 214-289-7807. That's 214-289-7807. Third person to text in, we'll send you a Temple Fork Outfitters cap. Nick, we are out of time, my friend, but thanks so much for being here, and I look forward to visiting with you again sometime in the near future.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. There he goes, Nick Conklin of Temple Fork Outfitters, who, man, this is the third year in a row that TFO has sponsored one of our monthly contests. We've given away fly rod and reel combo. Last year we gave away one of the Mangrove Series saltwater rods, so we're really excited about giving away that Bass Series rod here this year. Man, we are out of time. We got to get out of here. Thanks to Nick as well as our other guest today, Elite Series and Major League Fishing Pro Mark Davis, and of course Delta Waterfowl's John Devney. I sincerely appreciate all you guys and gals out there for tuning in. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
You're gonna be a singer and a big movie star, but you can't catch no bricks, baby, and Hollywood is out. Now you work down at the Time Out, off of 155, and you're dancing for your dollars, just trying to stay alive. It hurts me so.
Cable Smith here for The Seat Shop. That outdoor lifestyle we all love, yeah, it can be pretty rough on the interior of our trucks. That's why I trust my friends at The Seat Shop. Is your driver's seat ripped where you slide in and out of your truck or SUV? They can replace that one cover, and the new leather is guaranteed to match your factory interior. Or if you want to overhaul your full front row or your entire interior like I did, The Seat Shop can definitely take care of you. And if you're looking for something to protect your leather, they've got the new Carhartt seat covers as well. Perfect for hauling gear, guns, and dogs around.
Guys, the Seat Shop is a great family-owned company who really knows their stuff, and their old-fashioned customer service is a hard thing to find these days. I had a great time working with them, and I know you will too. So visit theseatshop.com or give them a call at 214-710-2565 today.
If you're in the market for a compact track loader, then check out the Bobcat Advantage, where Bobcat track loaders squared off against other brands in a variety of tests and challenges. Whether you're looking for performance advantages, uptime protection, or quality design, Bobcat compact track loaders are the best built machines in the industry. But don't take our word for it. Watch the videos at BobcatAdvantage.com or see Bobcat machines in person at Bobcat of Dallas, Lewisville, Bobcat of Fort Worth, and Bobcat of Longview. Visit BobcatOfDallas.com or call 469-586-0000 today.
You wouldn't take a mule to the Kentucky Derby, and you wouldn't go swimming with your boots on. So why do folks wear mossy green camo to hunt the Great Southwest? Game Guard Camouflage is celebrating 10 years of putting hunters undercover in the rugged Texas terrain. Owner Craig Smith invites you to visit a dealer near you to check out the full line of hunting apparel, caps, bags, coolers, gun cases, dove hunting belts, and the newly designed microfiber shirts. Available in 13 different colors. So whether you're hunting, camping, fishing, or just enjoying the great outdoors, Game Guard has you covered. Visit GameGuard.net to find a dealer near you or call 888-381-4263. Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star Outdoors Show.